Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, December 27th, and this is 10 dozen minutes of post-Christmas depression with Jake and Mr. Skullhead. I'm Mr. Skullhead, and Jake is on the line.
Oh, are you depressed, Mr. Skullhead?
No, I just figured, you know, some people might be. I didn't want them to feel alone. That's one thing that happens when you're depressed, you know.
When in fact they are alone, because everybody else had a great time.
Yeah, and but we're not sad at all to see that time come to an end.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Mr. Skullhead? How was your Christmas?
Christmas was kind of cool. We had the, just me and Jess and Ollie in the house, and, Jess's parents had bought him a big kitchen playset, which we assembled and then covered with a sheet, and we got the grandparents on Skype and did a big reveal, and he went and played with that for quite some time, and he got a pile of toys and some clothes.
Have you decided you're raising him as a girl?
I've decided that fuck you, is what I've decided.
Oh. Kitchen playset, huh?
Yeah. He got a kitchen playset, and he got him some trucks.
Were they out of army playsets?
Yeah. It's actually an army kitchen.
Oh, cool. So it's just got some shit and some shingles?
Yeah, it has, and some bandages. In case you get hurt.
But it's the kitchen from MASH, and he always wants to be Corporal Klinger.
Yeah, well, we also got him a couple of dresses. I mean, come on.
And some grape knee-high.
Yeah.
Or some grape Faygo, trying to turn him into a Juggalo.
Yes, that's what we're working for, is a gay Juggalo. We want him to be as ostracized by society as possible.
And with Radar O'Reilly glasses and a dress.
And constantly listening to Baba O'Reilly by The Who. We saw some Tron on Christmas Eve.
How did you feel about that?
Or on Christmas Day. Not only did I enjoy it, I enjoyed it so much that I was kind of baffled at the criticisms that were being leveled at it. That was kind of my take.
I did not think that the plot was confusing at all.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Like, the criticisms that I can understand are, like, there were people that said that it was paced slowly, which it was paced slowly for a sort of a modern action movie, and that's great.
Yeah, I appreciated the fact that it was paced at all, which is not something that happens a lot in big blockbuster movies. And, you know, how does it work? How come there's a gay program? How come they're in a bar? How come they're eating pork in that one scene? Like, okay, you're going to a movie, the premise of which is a guy gets zapped by a laser, and that somehow transports him inside a computer, and there are little people living in there, and you're gonna nitpick?
Yeah, you know, you and I have had this argument before, I think, where, about whether or not, like, internal consistency is important to preservation of the suspension of disbelief.
See, I don't know that it wasn't internally consistent, it's just they didn't remark upon...
It was pretty internally inconsistent with the first movie, I thought. My problem, it wasn't even a problem, right? I liked Tron Legacy. I went in not expecting it to be any good, and I enjoyed it the whole time. I could not stop myself from enjoying it, no matter how hard I thought about it.
Okay.
But where the first movie was about the interplay between what was going on in the real world and what was going on in the computer, and the users in the real world with their motives and the programs that they had written in the computer that were reflections of those motives, that's what the movie was about, right? It was about these sort of political machinations in microcosm through not a metaphor of software, through like a fictionalized representation of software. And this movie just dispensed with that completely, right? They go in, the movie takes place, they go out.
Yeah,
and
this movie was a fantasy.
What computer is this running on? Like, it was a technological fairy tale. Tron was a technological fairy tale, and they turned it, you know, Tron Legacy was just a fairy tale.
Hmm.
You know, it was a weird computerized version of the real world. It was like a parallel reality that... I get why somebody would be upset that none of this stuff was explained. Like, you know, what computer was it running on? Because you're inside a computer is the deal with Tron, right? Like, what computer were they on? Was it that weird mainframe at the office?
In the arcade? Presumably it's running on some kind of rack of servers, right?
Is it the ones that he turns off at the end? Because what's the implication there? I mean, genocide is the implication.
Right,
there.
No, did he turn servers off at the end?
Yeah. Also, I was listening to the Overthinking It podcast about it, and they were under the impression that the sort of, like, explosion at the end where Flynn and Clue reintegrate destroyed the entire world. Whereas I thought it just destroyed the area surrounding the gate.
Yeah, I mean, they pan out.
And the bad guy army. But they all read that scene as that explosion wiped out the entire world in there.
That doesn't make any sense, though, because they pan out within the world to show that explosion happening.
Yeah.
And the scale on which it happened.
And I didn't think it panned out far enough that explosion encompassed everything that we had seen.
No, not even to the other side of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird to see, like, a level of animus and hate leveled at a movie that is trying to do something extraordinary and does a whole lot of it.
Like, I've not actually seen a tremendous amount of vitriol pointed at it, but I might just not be looking
at
the right.
So the Onion AV Club gave it a D. Whereas they gave something like the first Transformers movie a C. It's like, why is that? The first Transformers movie was fucking terrible and had not even the spark of intelligence that this movie has.
I remember feeling,
why is there so much hate on it? Is it because it's a beloved property for nerds? Is it something that it's trying too hard and you don't think it got there? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, seems sometimes
sequel to a cult classic, right? It's a sequel to a movie that was, you know, sort of a critical and box office failure in its day, but became a cult classic. And I think that segment of the population, you're never going to make them happy. I also personally believe that it was not a particularly effective Tron sequel.
Hmm.
You know, it was a fine movie. And I don't really agree with any of the, like, complaints about it in terms of its crafting, but I really don't think that it was a good sequel to Tron.
Yeah,
because
I think
it's just not about the same. It's not. It doesn't take place in the same world. It takes place in, like, a.
Sure, and it's stated that it doesn't take place in the same world.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
That it's a, you know, the first Tron was kind of pondering the implications of technology being everywhere, right at the cusp of that happening, and then this one. You know, that's something that's already happened. You can't really make an effective movie about, OMG, there's going to be computers all over. So it's kind of what happens when the computers start to get as smart as we are, and what does that mean? So, you know, I wouldn't say that it explored that deeply, but it did do a good job of grafting, like, fantasy tropes onto that discussion.
But it might as well have not been about computers. It would not have suffered at all if it just hadn't been about a computer.
Oh, I don't think so.
Like, that's what bugs me about it a little bit.
For the, like, artificial intelligence, something created in your own image, the, like, spontaneous generation of a life form, like, those ideas are interesting and can only happen in a computer realm, but, yeah, but I'm not arguing that, for the most part, the light cycles could have been dragons. And it would have been fine. But it seems like if a movie aims a little bit higher than your average, that it will get smacked down by, like, smart guy hipster critics even more than something that's just a piece of shit. Like,
Well, sure. I mean, I think that's... Let's say, like, I think that's natural, though.
Yeah, like Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain was a movie that had some really big ideas and I thought did something extraordinary with them, and yet it got worse reviews than, like, Yogi Bear from people who just didn't dig it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's something to be said for trying to make a silly kids movie and making a silly kids movie, right? Like,
but I would rather encourage people who try and almost, like, I'll give you an A for effort if you went, okay, we're making a blockbuster based on a 30-year-old movie, but we are going to do some incredibly strange and interesting things with it, and we're going to let Jeff Bridges be Obi-Wan Kenobi. And that's going to be awesome.
Like, sort of like hippie Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, like, thank you for not just making, like, just churning out a piece of shit, you know? Even if it's flawed, it's better than something that is a perfectly tooled, machine-built blockbuster. I don't know.
Yeah. Did Transformers get bad reviews?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. I guess just no one cares, right? The studio doesn't care. The directors presumably don't care. The public sure as hell doesn't care. I mean, I guess Tron Legacy made its money back, right? I mean, I guess what I don't want, I feel like it was a poor legacy for Tron, right? Like, I don't want the story to continue and have it be like, oh yeah, this is the story that started with Tron, because it's like, no, this is like a kind of a reimagining of Tron with, like, references to Tron thrown in for nostalgia's sake.
I like, agreeably few, I thought, though.
Yeah. The stuff I thought was going to bother me didn't bother me at all. You know, it didn't bother me that the light cycles could curve or whatever, although it strains the metaphor a little, in my mind. The fact that there was a bar, that didn't bother me. I see, because Tron 2.0, the video game, was so good, I had a picture in my head of how the sort of, like, Tron idea played out in a modern computing context,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there are scenes where you have to find, you know, the USB port inside the system so that you can make your way into somebody's PDA to get a password out of a file, and then activate the wireless function of the PDA so that you can make it out into the NCOM mainframe and use that password. You know, there are so many neat things that you could do with the story on the outside, story on the inside running in parallel that I just, you know, I kind of wanted to see that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted a Tron sequel to be, is a movie that did all the tricks that video game did to modernize the ideas set forth in Tron. Yeah. And it was just the whole kind of cosmology of it was just an afterthought. Like, it was a big deal when Jeff Bridges got scanned into the computer in the first movie, and the scene took a long time. They spent a great deal of time explaining what they were trying to do. They showed the experiment with the apple. You know, they were like talking about the technology, and then it was a big production, him actually going into the computer, right? And this was just like, there you are, now let's have some, like...
Sure, because 20 years ago, he perfected that technology, and then did a whole bunch of experiments where he and Bradley were going in there over and over and built another system, and then that system had 20 years of computer time to build itself.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I thought it worked. It was the only movie also that I've seen in 3D and not been sorry, which was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't mind it so much. It's the only movie I've ever seen in 3D at an IMAX. There was the notion, and they kept talking about the fact that a whole bunch of time passes inside the computer with very little time passing on the outside of the computer. And that is never relevant to anything at all. They just never do. They spend a whole bunch of time establishing this, like, idea of how the world works, and then they just never do anything with it, which I thought was a little weird. I mean,
did they spend as long as the sex scene in Watchmen or the underwear shot in Scott Pilgrim?
They mention it several
once.
Times. It's a bunch of times. They mention it a bunch of times. Once. How time passes possibly, more time passes on the inside than on the outside.
Possibly twice.
Yeah. Anyway.
Certainly not three times a lady.
There were a lot of things that I wish they had done. And you know what? Like, because I liked Tron, and Tron was arguably, you know, not a good movie, maybe the reason that they didn't want to do the things that I wanted them to do is because they wanted to make a movie that people would like.
I'm sure that they could have looked at Tron and say, well, what was wrong with this movie? Like, well, it takes too long to get him into the alternate universe, which is presumably the interesting part. You know, like, you don't make a Narnia movie and have the kids be in London for an hour before they get to Narnia, right? And the pacing of the first Tron is glacial. Like, I want to watch it again, but I'm sure that there are parts of it that are just going to bog down and bore me.
I mean, it is. There are parts of it that are kind of boring, right? But I almost feel like the first time, at least, the payoff means more. Oh. You know, it's like if you replace the first chapter of Harry Potter with a paragraph instead of a whole chapter, right? There's something to be said for setting a scene for a contrast payoff. But, you know, I mean, not in today's MTV video game show.
Well, if you're setting up a thing where all of the important conflict happens in the computer, and the payoff to all of that conflict happens within the computer, too. So instead of telling a story about technology, you're telling a story about a son and his father reconciling, and the father's other son kind of failing to be reconciled, I guess.
Sure.
Then, yeah. Then you do have a movie that could have been set in Narnia, but if you set it in the grid, then you get everything covered in bitchin' neon, and you get like fucking light plane chase scene, which was incredibly cool.
That one was, it was hard for me to appreciate that, because that was one point where the 3D made it very difficult for me to tell what was going on, because it was moving too fast.
You know, it's weird. Usually, for me, 3D is constantly, things are getting too close to my eyes, and my eyes won't cross far enough, and so they just kind of separate into the two different images, and stuff is blurry. But this, I didn't even notice.
There were only a few points in the movie where it was like, oh, right, I'm watching a 3D movie and this technology is kind of ass.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, if you judge it by how good, for my purposes, could this movie have been, then it's like, okay, well, that was maybe a C. But it's like, how good was this movie likely to be, given, you know, everything that's happened in movies in the past, say, even 10 years? Yeah. Then it's an A+. It just could have been a pile of shit, I know, because I watched the first 15 minutes of the Transformers sequel.
Oh, yeah.
And I stopped when Optimus Prime said, punk-ass Decepticon.
I remember watching the first Transformers, and for the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes, I was like, wow, maybe this isn't going to be terrible. And then, nope, it was fucking terrible.
Did you get to the point where one of the robots pees oil on somebody?
Yep.
Yeah.
That guy that looks kind of like Jimmy Smits, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's a thing now. I wonder if there's a trope about that on TV Tropes. Just, like, the robot sidekick, or anytime you have a robot in a movie, it has to either, like, puke up gears or poop out gears or pee oil. It's like, you can't have a robot in a movie without it doing some kind of equivalent of a human bodily function.
Huh.
It's weird.
I saw True Grit yesterday.
That I would very much like to see. How did that strike you?
It was pretty good. You know, it was not exactly a Coen Brothers movie in the sense of being a Coen Brothers movie, but the dialogue was real sharp, and there was a lot more talking than shooting, which is always good for me, at least. I can recommend it.
Cool. I don't know, like, what I think of as a Coen Brothers movie were the first couple that I saw, like Barton Fink and Hudsucker Proxy and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So I tend to not like the movies that are just the, you know, like, I hated Fargo. I haven't seen No Country for Old Men yet or Blood Simple yet. It's just, I prefer the a little bit weirder.
Blood Simple, I feel, is just a really straightforward, like, murder story. No Country for Old Men, I haven't seen, but I isn't that based on the Cormac McCarthy book?
Perhaps.
I believe it is, and I mean, if so, that just means it's going to be good. Speaking of which, did you see The Road?
I did not.
Or did you read The Road?
I don't read books.
You need to read. You need to read The Road, and then you need to see The Road.
Keep then I need to hit the road.
Is the answer? Yeah. Oh no, I'm gonna just verify that that it was actually a Cormac McCarthy. Yeah, Cormac McCarthy novel from 2005. That guy's a national treasure.
You mean like Nicolas Cage?
Yes. Who is it that I always say is a national treasure? Dean Stockwell.
He is.
I can't stop talking about how wonderful he is whenever he's in my head.
Hey, boy.
So
that's what happened. How was your Christmas? What did you do?
I was great. My mother came up, and we all hung about, and it wasn't until the following day that a band of roving hooligans took to all of the cars parked on the street in our neighborhood with a baseball bat.
Excellent.
That's, yeah.
Well, at least in your neighborhood, those were probably bored, suburban, like, Mormon kids instead of, like, a gang of Mexicans or something.
Well, so at least their parents will have the money to pay the damages, I guess, is right.
Did your car get hit?
No. The girl's car did. I'm not going to park my car on the street. Are you kidding?
No.
This neighborhood's horrible.
Not in Reagan's America.
Yeah. Christmas was great, though. There was a lot of my mother made a prime rib.
Hmm.
And been eating leftover prime rib since then. I only had to drive to the data center once on Christmas Day.
Huh.
That sucked. Almost no one. It was not like a downtime event. Almost nobody noticed, but there was a problem with one of the web servers, and it happened to be a web server that was running some kind of authentication thing, and it getting into some weird semi-responsive state without actually going down caused the SSH daemon on dev to crash, which made it so we weren't sure that rollover was going to work. And because of that, I just had to drive down there, and it was cool. The security guards were just the security guards at the data center building were just sitting there with cigarettes in their mouths but not lit, watching The Matrix. And it was weird. I was thinking, like, if I was a security guard at a big skyscraper, I think The Matrix would be like my least favorite movie.
Because it involves a whole bunch of your spiritual brethren getting killed.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole scene. It's just a bunch of dudes, like, what the hell are you, like, oh, okay, a bunch of superheroes just came in and destroyed this thing that I'm supposed to protect. Cool.
And killed me.
And the guy, I guess the guy, man in the tech support phone was at the, like, on hour 22 of a 24-hour shift on Christmas. Oh. He was like, yeah, I don't have any family in town, and I don't really care about Christmas that much, and they're paying me a shitload of money for this. Like, okay.
That's that's agreeable candor, I think.
Yeah. did that little part of my job. And it was great. We thought that the problem was way worse than it was, because when I brought that crash cart, a little rolling thing with a monitor and keyboard on it over to try and bring up dev so I could just log into the console and rerun the SSH daemon, it just wouldn't work at all. We're like, what the fuck? And then I tried it on a couple other computers and realized that the fucking keyboard on the crash cart was broken. So I just had to go get the other one. I was like, oh, okay, that's better. that wasn't a big deal. So my prime rib came out of the microwave after I got home. Been cooking all day. Slow-cooked prime rib all day. And it was about half an hour before it's time to eat. I get called into work. But that's all right, kids.
And that's why we love you.
No.
But Christmas, food-wise, went kind of weird, because we made a big pot of chili on Christmas Eve and ended up with, like, only eating a third of it. So on Christmas Day, like in the afternoon around 2, we each ate another bowl of it, and we're just full until we went to see Tron, and then we went straight to bed after Tron. So we had our Christmas ham and cranberry sauce and whatever on the next day.
Did you actually have a Christmas dinner tradition?
My parents would always have a bunch of couples from the church over on Christmas Day. They'd always do a ham, because any Christian holiday, you just have to have ham to make the Jews feel a little bit more left out.
Yeah.
It's like, not only can you not celebrate this holiday, you can't even eat with us. Unless you're going to give up your not digging on swine ways.
Yeah. Or just, you know, have only side dishes.
I guess that could be. You could just have some green beans and mashed potatoes.
Made some green bean, my mom made some green bean casserole that she didn't like, but I did, because we didn't have any of those horrible dried onion things. Which are critical to a green bean casserole, I get. Because it's not really a green bean casserole so much as it's some really thick cream of mushroom soup with green beans in it.
Right.
If you don't have those, but I prefer it that way.
I go for the extra fried onions, actually. On Thanksgiving dinner, we had the can of fried onions sitting out on the table just in case anybody wanted extra, and boy, did they.
I mean, I will just eat them, but I don't like them. What it does is it turns a delicious thing into a delicious thing with little bits of soggy bread in it, and boy, do I just fail to...
Do you mix them in, then, or do you just... Do you just put them
it's
on top?
Made with some, and then it's made with some mixed in there to kind of hold it together, I think, and then it's got a layer on top.
Oh, see, we just put the layer on top, and then
they don't really stay crunchy. They get soggy, and soggy bread is gross. Biscuits and gravy are gross. Stuffing is gross. So like good.
Just soggy bread is something that I'm into.
Yeah, I guess so.
Generally, it tends to be incredibly salty, soggy bread. So. Oh. You know, stuffing, biscuits, and gravy. Kind of stuff. We had a quiche for Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah?
That was delicious.
A breakfast quiche?
Yeah. I like the... I think Crack.com was talking about how... Don't understand why it's real men don't eat quiche when quiche is basically egg pie and sometimes has ham and bacon in it.
Yeah.
Like, you know... You'd be hard-pressed to find a dish more suited to a manly palate for breakfast.
Yeah, I don't really get it. I think it's because quiche is French.
Hmm.
Because I think, you know, real men also don't eat a souffle.
Right.
Which at least is wispy, so you can kind of understand it. But I think it is largely that the French are pussies.
I gotcha. Except for General Lafayette.
Yeah.
That dude was hardcore.
And the Merovingian.
Yep. Hello, Morpheus. Did I mention that I am French? Again, I picked that up. Quiet, Morpheus. He was definitely of the Monty Python and the Holy Grail race of Frenchmen.
Yeah, and they were tough.
They threw cows at people. That is pretty hardcore.
Didn't that actually happen in, like, Siege days? They'd throw, like, diseased dead animals in?
Yeah. If they didn't, they should have.
Yeah. All right, well, should we, do we have anything else to talk about Christmas-wise?
We can hit briefly on... Do you want to talk about Jingle Bells and Lumps of Coal, or would you rather give that a rest?
I mean, I think I'm going to do what you think, but I don't even know that anybody knows or cares.
Yeah, the thing that got under my skin a little is people saying, once again, you've rewarded people who play right after rollover, even though you tell us not to play right after rollover, because they got to have both of those things, and it seemed like that it should have been by design that you get both of them. So you had two things that seemed weird to me to say, like, because you left this exploit open for a couple of people to get it, you're just telling us that in order to get everything in this game, you have to play right after rollover. Which is not true. We were saying, in order to get everything in this game, you can't. and we just forgot something. And then people saying, like, well, it seemed like that was the way that this was going to function and that it should function that way. You just gave us the fax machine. Why wouldn't you let us do this fight twice? It's just like, because that's not what I intended, you know?
I mean, it's obviously not supposed to happen that way.
But obviously is a tricky word. Like, we say, obviously, you're making a single choice and getting a souvenir from that choice. But then people are saying, well, obviously, you had just given us this mechanism to subvert only getting to fight a monster once. So what can you say?
Right. Well, I can say that, according to Franz VB, Stroop waffles are Dutch, and the Stroop part is pronounced to rhyme with hope. I'm not saying it that way.
I think you mean it's pronounced to rhyme with hoop. H-O-P-E, yeah. Hoop.
Because they're Dutch-Canadian.
I hope you enjoy your Stroop waffles.
Benny Nitro says, I think I've heard mention of The World According to Garp. Is that book or movie? Watch movie and didn't enjoy it. Book a lot better. I have only seen the movie and I enjoyed it and I did not read the book. I did not see the movie. I haven't seen the movie in the last, like, probably 15 years, though, so it might be terrible. You know what I was told is that apparently Mark Maron's WTF podcast, he did an interview with Robin Williams where Robin Williams is just acting like a dude.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy said it was pretty good. That it was interesting to just hear him talk without being incredibly annoying.
Without doing a bunch of shtick.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Rapid fire schizophrenic shtick. I watched, Shakes the Clown on DVD. Watched that as a bedtime treat the other day.
I'm pretty sure that's one that I wouldn't enjoy, so I'm just going to give it a pass.
Yeah, it's got kind of, it's sort of like Freddy Got Fingered plus happiness.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I like, the level of Bobcat Goldthwait I enjoy is around, like, Scrooged level, where he's in there briefly and he's not making noises like a CB radio half the time.
I mean, he, in Shakes the Clown, he's only acting like Bobcat Goldthwait when he is in character as a clown, like performing for children or whatever.
Huh.
You know, he's acting like a drunk most of the time, but he's not, like, he's not super twitchy, I guess. And the rest of it, he's not just making a lot of weird noises. He's just talking and, you know, sometimes throwing up and stuff. Karathkelin says, no questions, just props, mad props, for an excellent and hilarious Crimbo. Great art, great writing, I loved it. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much. I was surprised, looking at the scan of all of the art for the Zone Wolf, I was surprised how much of it is comped together.
Yeah, I just found that it takes a lot fewer tries to draw everything if I don't insist on getting it perfect the first time.
But then also thinking about, like, sitting down and drawing the set of faces that's on the front of the Book of Faces as a single unit would be daunting.
I mean, you'd have to... And it wouldn't look anywhere near. I feel like the reason that I do that is the same reason that, for the most part, people will draw things in pencil before they draw things in pen, right? Like, they will just draw all of those faces and then trace over them in the order that makes them pile up that way.
Right.
And I don't know, I've never tried drawing stuff in pencil and going over it with pen and then scanning it. I'm afraid that it would cause too much editing hassle. Because I can always see the pencil through that stuff. And if you erase it, it makes the paper scan weird. There are probably ways around it, right? But I don't know how much I want to change my methodology.
No, I think you ended up with some really interesting and cool looking stuff. Just by having everything drawn out individually, but then comping them together. I just hadn't noticed that, which is a point in your favor.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to make it... Like, I edit stuff at... So, the three writes, is that the full resolution you scan at? Yeah, that is the resolution that I scan at. And then I edit stuff at that resolution. And then shrink it down by about... what, 30%? I go from 150 by 150 grids to make the 100 by 100 and 50 to make the 30 by 30. So slightly different ratios on items and adventure images, but... And I've been doing that more consistently for the last, like, say, 6 months. Hmm. I'll do that even in larger pictures. I'll make sure that I do the 3:2 going down so that the line weights are always all the same. Because I know that doesn't bother a lot of people, but it really bothers me when stuff has wildly different line weights. Especially, like, two monsters in the same zone, which will happen every once in a while, because my, you know, in the early days, my scanning was somewhat haphazard.
I wouldn't say it bothers me, but I notice. And God knows.
Fred Levi says, you didn't draw the butt censored? Nope.
Sometimes you just gotta draw a butt and put the bar over it afterward.
Although, that doesn't really look like a butt. I guess it looks like a butt, like it looks like a detached butt.
Mm-hmm. You know, like if somebody were wearing pants with the butt cut out, that would be what's sticking through, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
So like a disembodied butt. Boy, do I like the Mr. Manation picture.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just the ill-fitting suit and the tentacle arm and the... Yeah. You got both heads in there.
Did I get both heads in there?
No. the other one's on in the back.
Okay. You were being sarcastic.
Well, there was just that post in the forums. It said, well, my big complaint about Crimbo is you keep saying the Crimbomination has two heads and he keeps only having one of the pictures. I'm like, I know.
Didn't I draw him before he was written, the big one? He had the little head growing out of his big head.
Yeah, the big one, I just said, how about a big lump of elves? And I love the way that that thing looks. And I actually like the way that this Crimbomination looks and looked last year when he was in the kind of shrunken down form.
Right.
But I had written him with two heads, so... I did, and not intentionally, I think, but there were just more and more points of reference of the two heads, like, when I couldn't think of anything else funny to say about him, you're saying, right. Like, yeah, all eight nostrils, all two heads, and,
okay.
So it kind of almost seemed like I was making fun of you, but I totally wasn't.
R.D. Kane says, thanks again for another fun Crimbo event. Can't wait to see how the story continues to unfold. Ah, well, you'll have to wait until next year.
Next year we should do
Crimbo Gaiden instead of actually continuing the story.
Next year's Crimbo is just going to be 2006's Crimbo again.
Ooh.
Or what, 2005's? Because we've come full circle, right? Uncle Crimbo's back in charge. So.
The boys are back in town. In fact, you remember that time at Johnny's place when that chick got up and slapped Johnny's face?
Yeah.
I mean, if that chick don't want to know, forget her.
I don't think I've ever heard The Boys Are Back in Town.
That song just infuriates me every time I hear it.
I don't know. Yeah, I've heard it in trailers, I think is the only place. Just little snippets of it. I'd never wanted to listen to anything by Thin Lizzy because every time I went to a music store and was looking for They Might Be Giants, I'd be, you know, eagerly anticipating being able to find a couple of the albums that I didn't have and would always get to Thin Lizzy, which was after They Might Be Giants would be, and realize that this music store, like every other one, didn't have any.
Right.
So I just kind of equated
them
with
disappointment. Yeah, we should have lived in a real town when we were growing up, I think.
Yeah. At least now, you know, everybody can have everything.
And everything is in its right place.
Right.
Let's see. We got this forum post that was from last time that we didn't end up using for the last show, which we could look at and read some questions. People were asking about... the time that I did the show by myself, people were asking for an overview of what the Crimbo design process is like, and I didn't really want to spoil stuff. I think that was before the Secret Santa stuff had rolled, maybe. No, it wasn't, but it was before Uncle Crimbo came back or whatever. And I feel like it's, you know, correct me if you would describe the process in another way, but it's like, come up with the basic idea for some core mechanic of it in the swimming pool. Well, you come up with that whenever. We talk about it in the swimming pool, hash it out, and then, like, 2 weeks before December 1st, we start scrambling to get something in place. Yeah. And then for the next 3 weeks, we're finishing the stuff basically just in time for it to roll.
Yeah. Because I'll get an idea and think that it's the whole thing. Like, this year I want to do, like, a lemonade stand thing, only with hobos and hiring them to collect money for Don Crimbo. Like, okay, let's go. We're done. Drinks all around. Like, this year I want to do a Secret Santa thing, and it'll be in a... it'll be like a corporate thing, because Office Santa thing is how that goes. Like, okay, our work here is done.
Your parts do tend to be in, like, these weird just blasts of work, right? Like, a framework is put into place, and there's like, all right, now we need a bunch of monsters for here, and then it's like, okay, thanks, Scully. That was fast. Because they're just done before we even know what hit us.
Yeah, like, I think that that stuff is just kicking around in the back of my head. Like, we're going to need a bunch of work monsters. And then, like, I think that if we put the whole event together months beforehand and kind of codified it and wrote it all down, that we would lose a lot. Because the boredom mechanic was just like, well, I came up with all these ideas for stuff you do at work, but some of the stuff you do at work is just slacking off. Work should make you get bored, and we should do it this way. And you're like, we should actually do it this way, because doing it this way will make it work. But I don't think that's something that would have happened if we had just not let those ideas develop under a really tight deadline like we do every year. You know, we end up with stuff that I think we could have done a couple of things a little bit differently and maybe explored the ideas a little more thoroughly. But it wouldn't be as dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is how we do things, right? I mean, we have the core of an idea, we let it germinate for a long time, and then we scramble to put it together, and it's always great, you know, because desperate times call for awesome measures.
Yeah. Necessity is the mother of awesome.
Eric says, despite the limited nature of it, Crimbopolis is awesome. Any plans for it appearing next year? No. No. There was never any plan for Crimbopolis to come back for another year. So you know, maybe we'll do something. I think the clan collaborative nature of a Christmas event was a great thing. People really responded to it. So, I mean, it's certainly something that will enter into our thinking when we're trying to figure out what to do in the future. But I think in its existing form, I mean, it makes it less special if it comes back.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, that's constantly the thing that the knife edge that we're walking on is making things accessible versus making them special for the people who get to do them. You know, and we are all of individual minds as to how that should play out. And so, you know, we do some stuff one way and some stuff another way. And people worrying about, like, oh man, what if my Secret Santa buddy decides to screw me by sending me too much stuff? It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, yeah. ZaruFan wrote, climax to the content tomorrow or on Saturday, just to make sure as many people were confused and underwhelmed last year by what they assumed to be the climax, but was actually the falling action / conclusion on the 25th. I don't remember what that was all about.
Yeah, I was talking about how people feel that every year the Christmas event is anticlimactic because they're expecting there to be a whole lot to do on the 25th.
Yeah.
And there never is. And, like, last year people were expecting a fight with Don Crimbo, and I don't know where that expectation came from, but they were expecting a big fight with either Don or with the Crimbomination, and instead they got this weird story that you get told by pushing buttons. and it didn't have anything to do with the way the game is usually played. But, like, kind of by design.
Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, I remember a handful of people saying, like, they didn't like, I mean, like, you know, they didn't like that there was a fight that you were guaranteed to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, no, man, that's...
It's a pretty established thing that can happen in games, right?
So... Yeah, and it's also a, like, you know, that's also a way of making a story have some actual resonance, right? Is by subverting what you're used to.
Right.
Subverting. Blackslan says, the first post, first part of this post has been brought to you by Ninja Brand Ninjas. Tijik, so what do you think of the new FaxBot? And what do you think of Stu's comment that it would have been better with that functionality to begin with? I like it, and I think Stu's comment that it would have been better with that functionality to begin with is totally wrong, because it took a tremendous amount of effort and coordination and investment in these things to make this bot network happen. Same end situation, but you guys earned it instead of just stomping your feet and demanding it. So that's
in,
why.
In addition to stomping your feet and demanding it, actually.
Well, right. Yeah. And a little less serious, how do your conference calls compare to Crimbo's? Hazard and overtime pay for all? I like our conference calls. And Scully came into Dev and he was like, for those of you who participate in our conference calls, note that the opinions I'm about to express in this monster do not reflect my feelings about our conference calls.
Well, the things that, like, some of the hit messages I pulled from our conference calls, like me being in the grocery store, so all anybody can hear is the beep of the cashier, and, you know, like, C.D. Moyer being at McDonald's with his kids, so you just hear kids running around. But, like, the overall import of our conference calls is to actually make our business work in a way that it never had before.
Yeah. I do.
So it's definitely,
I do,
like,
feel a little bad at times on the conference calls when I realize, you know, there's been 20 minutes of meeting that did not involve, say, Riff at all. That Riff has just had to sit there in a meeting that is totally irrelevant to what he does or whatever. You know, I feel bad about making that happen every once in a while, but at the same time, it's like, it doesn't hurt to know what other people are up to.
Right.
I had a conference call today that was just C.D. Moyer and the server guy, and we've sort of, we were just talking about some different stuff, figuring out what the hell to do with servers. I think it ended positively. I think maybe the future in terms of the amount of shit that we have to buy is less bleak than I thought.
Lovely.
Tech is getting cheaper, as it turns out. Yeah, so I don't know. Today I had a productive conference call. You would have hated it, I think. It was all just, like, Linux nerd talk.
But there's always, like, there's an hour of the conference call where we talk about stuff that directly relates to me, and then there's an hour, you know, or half an hour to an hour where we talk about, where you and Chris and Kevin talk about tech.
And do they really last 2 hours?
No, it's in the middle of saying that, I was like, wait a minute. It's usually... an hour.
It's like maybe 20 minutes or 90 20 minutes of one and 20 minutes of the other, or yeah.
But definitely irreplaceable for actually moving the ball forward on stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Making it so I don't have to call you in the middle of the night and go, for the love of God, when are we rolling this thing out?
Stupak2 says, so now that it's released, what do you think of FaxBot? I love it. Scully sent in his butt. Any chance to get one from the rest of you? So I was thinking, this is something I was going to bring up on the Wednesday conference call. I want to put mine in there, but I want there to be a special item that you can only get by pickpocketing it from my butt. And I was wondering if you wanted to do that for you.
Hell yes.
Multizar had a funny idea for what you'd get out of his, and I like it a lot. And so I just want
to... Yeah, I'll see what you guys have. You know, I didn't even hesitate to do that, and it didn't occur to me until afterwards that other members of the staff were holding out, you know, holding off of doing that, and might have reasons for doing so. It's like, woo!
Well, I just wanted to do something awesome with it, right? Right. It's not that I don't want it out there.
How do I read the fact that there are 10 to 15 people kicking my butt every day? Is that
how do you read it? Oh, yeah. Oh. How do you? Oh, I see.
What's the take on it? Is it like a fan thing, or is it a finally I get to express how much I hate this motherfucker thing?
I don't know how many employee of the month buffs are you getting?
None.
Well, right, none. Yeah, because people can't do that to you. I forgot. Right. We are unbuffable by the player base. Whenever we make something that's a regular buff, people can't do it to us. I totally forgot about that. Well, that makes me feel a little better about no one believing that I was the employee of the month. See, what I like is, like, I can respond to that. Like, my ability to just give people items in chat, like, whenever somebody says something funny, I will sometimes just give them a symbol syrup. As a kind of a funny, you know, rimshot joke.
Sure.
Yeah, when somebody has a good idea, I can make them employee of the month.
See, whenever somebody does something I like, I give them a hand turkey.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You give them a custom item that's about their boobs.
Yeah, a talisman of bio, possibly. If they send me naked pictures.
Sweet. Just reading some other stuff in this thread. It was about, I don't know. Fixer says, thank you for all the awesome Grimbo content. I'm particularly liking the covert buddy system. It's so satisfying to be able to shower a random, okay, sort of random, player with gifts. Elf Alley was a blast too, and they showed up in the washrooms. Now I know why office elves never come and clean away my unfiled paperwork. They're too busy trying to cook gingerbread in a spoon in the washroom. I didn't realize that was a Family Guy joke.
That was the way that I justified including it.
We got heroin and cock blocking.
I like that people got hung up on the word cock blocking.
Well, nobody got hung up on it. I guess other people didn't realize there was precedent for that appearing. Okay. And so it seemed like edging onto new ground with our vulgarity.
I thought it was kind of funny, though, that, geez, the stuff that you wrote for these hobos hanging out in the washroom is a little bit edgy and...
a little risque.
And risque. The homeless people in the bathroom are doing things that aren't entirely G-rated.
Inaudible Yelling says, I've always wondered, as housemates, do you and Riff and Hot Stuff fight a lot? No. That's how you can tell that Hot Stuff and I are not actually a couple, is that we never fight. So Riff lives at the office. I don't live at the office. Hot Stuff, you know, probably sleeps at the office half of the time, but he technically lives at my house. As a housemate, it's completely innocuous. Like, I feel like neither of us has any habits that are like irritating to the other at all. And I think we get along with Riff as a person who lives at our office because we also have a cleaning lady.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there might be some throwdowns every once in a while. Reverend Noodleson says, the don't open till Crimbo box, just freaking implement it and leave it up all year round. You thought you had to wait to open a box when somebody sends you something right after you start a hardcore run. Wait, what? Oh, okay.
If you thought...
Every year, I mean to do it. It is kind of a pain in the ass the way that gift boxes work to add a new gift box, and I always get angry when I have to write a new gift box for some reason. But I don't know why. Kodrick says, any plans to make a special debuff for olfacting someone's butt? Cowlick says, after receiving a pretty awesome Crimbo from you guys, I have to ask, what are the powers that be one for Crimbo? And is that anything the player base can provide? Women.
Mm.
And yes. What else do what do you want for Christmas? Did you want anything for Christmas that you didn't get?
I got what I wanted, especially out of the player base. I got people playing the content and enjoying it and making insightful comments about it and sending me naked pictures.
Cool.
So that's all I need. That's all.
I never should have given you the ability to give people that custom tattoo.
Hmm. Well, yeah, sometimes the hand turkey doesn't work. Sometimes I have to add the tattoo.
So in those cases, you need a fleshlight.
Right. I was thinking, actually, that the jingle bell kind of looks like the business end of a flashlight, but then I looked up some pictures of a flashlight, and I was mistaken.
Huh. So you assumed it was a sort of a crosshatch double vagina?
Well, like, I thought that flashlights looked like a vagina, but then had a horizontal line through it because it needed to be able to expand to accommodate.
So, I mean, one for you might need that, maybe. But
yeah, like, because of my giant dick, I figured...
Yeah, that was the implication, Scully. You didn't have to just come right out and say it.
I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But I wanted to. Do you want to take a musical interlude?
Sure.
All right, we'll return in about 15 minutes. And we're back. We may not have Jake yet, but we do.
No, we got me. Skype auto-updated to some fancy new version, and I saw the message that you just sent me when it popped up in my little system tray thing, but fucked if I know how to get to that conversation.
Right. Yeah, the new Skype is, it conforms to the modern design aesthetic, which is no more rounded edges or gradients on anything, just boxes and kind of solid color washes. And, yeah, it's ugly as fuck. It can do, multiple video calls.
I got a bunch of gradients and rounded edges on mine. There's a giant rectangle on the screen that is a picture of nobody. It would presumably be a picture of you if you had a picture on there that says, Mr. Skullhead. Because that's who I'm talking to.
That's weird. It's not showing an icon, but I do have an icon. Maybe it's, I don't know.
Maybe that's where a webcam would be.
Yeah. Should I get a webcam for down here so you can watch me talk?
No.
Yeah. I was like, you know...
Because I don't want to accidentally watch you do any of the other things that you do down there.
I always thought that the sure way to ruin a good text chat would be to add voice to it, and the sure way to ruin a good voice chat would be to add video to it.
Yeah.
So... Like, I always preferred talking to people on chat, and then somebody would suggest that we Skype up, and I'm like, yeah, I can talk to 6 people at a time if we're texting, but then I can only talk to a single person with my voice and listen to them.
You're talking to more than a single person with your voice right now. I guess not, you're just talking to me.
Yeah. And I'm not listening to you either, so.
Oh, good. Backslash says, another question, any chance you can give a hand to CD number, who's attempting to give eggnog to as many people as he can? He seems to be having a bit of trouble with gift limits and the figuring out a list of people to send to. Well, I mean, gift limits are a thing that are there so that people don't do things like send a gift to everybody.
Right.
You know, you can email them. I don't know, man. It's an ambitious project, I suppose. But I don't know that it's one that we should give official support to. Phoenix512 says, is there more to the sleeping stocking, or it really does nothing? It doesn't do nothing. And I'm not doing that in the hillbilly double negative, like, it don't do nothing.
It does do something.
Yes, it does do something. It's and I tested it. It might not be something that most people notice. It's just a passive damage reduction. Corruptor of Souls says, thank you so much for Covert Crimbo gifts in hardcore. It's making my run go excellently.
Yeah.
We always let Crimbo impact Ascension in ways that are unpredictable, and people enjoy it, you know? I think people have a good time saving up their runs for times when they may or may not get some really awesome stuff that makes the run go way faster.
Are any of those really going to make your run go that much faster?
Well, I mean, it's probably better food than you could get. I mean, they all do stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're just free. You know, you don't have to expend any resources for them.
If only we had gone with my original plan to put goat cheese in the Dickory Farms basket.
And that just wasn't gonna. That wasn't. So I mean, it was better to come up with some new stuff because it's easy to add a new food item. You know.
Yeah.
Like, that was... The Covert Crimbo stuff, I think the two of us sat down. You wrote a lot of it, And then the two of us sat down and spent, I mean, what did that take, like 4 hours probably? Where it was just, I would code this, I would say, Scully, I need you to write this. You would write it, you would say, hey, Jake, that's written. I would code it, and I like, that was, yeah. That was a nice push.
I think you're, sometimes you're scared to change mechanics that I've suggested, and I think that's because sometimes I go, what the fuck, that wasn't supposed to work like that. But for the most part, like, oh, okay, that the way that I've suggested that is not a good way to do it, and you have another idea, just put it in there.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes you'll suggest something that, like, there's no, like, you don't know that it would be way easier to do something that was slightly different but basically equivalent, you know? And so...
Or I get caught in tunnel vision. Like, the bath balls were... When I thought of it, I thought this could be something that you use every time you rest. And then just had blinders on for that. You're like, or you could just use them from inventory, which would be a lot simpler, a lot easier to manage multiples of them, like, better in every conceivable way than this thing you're stuck on. Like, oh, okay. But it is funny that with the Dickory Farms, I thought we should just use a cheese that's already in the game because it'll be such a pain to come up with a new item for the anti-cheese to work with. And then it just wasn't. As soon as I saw Scully write this, like, well, okay, we can just do it this way. And
I mean, that the log morphed into adding a new, you know, adding a new pet rock, which wasn't any work, you know?
Yeah.
It was cool. I mean, I think it worked out well, the way that we did it, which, you know, is very much a seat-of-the-pants collaboration. Speaking of which, Oracle of Wuffing says, did you have a plan for the description of the tiny plastic fax machine and then changed it when the reaction occurred to the untiny, not plastic fax machine? Or are you just flying by the seat of your pants as far as tiny plastic Crimbo gifts go? Yeah, we forgot about them. Because I tend to be like, all right, advent calendar's done, because I'll do everything on the 31st, or whatever, whichever day of whatever month. November? End of November. How many days half it again? But I can't do the tiny plastics because we often, we don't know what the event is going to consist of yet. So I just leave those in as placeholders, and we just fucked around and didn't fill them in as non-placeholders. Like, I feel like the 20th kind of snuck up on me. It seems like it's been a long time since then. You know, it keeps seeming like it should be January now, and it just keeps not being January.
Yeah, I think the run-up to Christmas went extremely fast, and then this, it already seems like it's been a week since Christmas.
Yeah. So the fax machine was written the day before it came out with all the other tiny plastics.
I thought that that led to a funny little post on Facebook, though, that people appreciated. So it was worth it for that. I enjoy doing the hand wave stuff, like, no, this was really an item that you weren't meant to have, and so...
Yeah. Oh No, Another Putt says, would you consider making the items from the Dickory Farms gift basket tradable, if only so that I can give someone my festive sausage? No.
We don't need to make them tradable for you to give someone your festive sausage. Just, you know, man up and do it.
Yeah, just hang some mistletoe on your nose. No, wait, hang some mistletoe on your chin so that they'll be sure to know what to kiss.
Your sternum.
Tie a bow around your belly button. First, figure out how to tie a bow around your belly button.
Mm. If you can tie a bow around your belly button, there is surgery that can fix that now.
Wait, is there surgery to fix outies?
Yeah, I assume.
Is that considered a condition?
As much as having one boob bigger than the other is a condition.
Oh, wait, the cheese is tradable. You just have to figure out how. You have to turn it into a log and trade it and then untinker it. That's kind of funny.
I like that you can pull the anti-cheese out of something.
Yeah. Yeah, the jam is tradable so that you can give it to Jews.
That was by special request. It's funny, though, that the whole time that I was writing stuff, I was like, dude, we gotta put some jam in there because we'll finally have jam you can put on toast and you can send it to Jews and it'll be hilarious. And then went to, like, search the mall to see how many jars of it were in there and had forgotten about the jam fish.
Yeah.
They give jam that you put on toast, so it's the first jam in a jar.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, a handful of jam is not the same. No. You don't want to give a Jew a handful of jam.
You're going to give him a whole jar, because yeah, Jews are very
good
at...
You'll get jam all over your money.
Right. I was going to say, Jews are very good at spotting when something is not a bargain, and a handful of jam is not a bargain. It's not quality merchandise. I almost wrote something about Jews in the description, but figured for the 90% of people who haven't heard that whole back and forth, that it would just...
Speaking of which, 5-4 and Umbra Angelus sent me some pretty sweet Christmas decorations, which was nice of them.
Ah, nice.
I went through today and put all the little gifts that we received at the office into the big display case full of stuff that people send us, because they are awesome.
Data Vortex sent me a personal groomer. I wasn't quite sure how to take that. I guess on the show we had talked about how it's hard to clip ear and nose hair. So he bought me an ear and nose hair trimmer.
Oatmeal.
I almost did. And I'm not sure why. It's hard to do topiary sculpture with oatmeal. I'm just going to put that out there. But yeah, thanks for that, Data Vortex. That was rad.
So I've seen two funny signs outside of McDonald's between the office and the house. One of which was, try our new caramel mocha McRib, $1.99. If you read it all as one sign. And the other one is the McDonald's near the oatmeal. It says, oatmeal, $1.99. Does McDonald's have oatmeal now?
I guess. One of the local equivalent to Starbucks, I mean, there are Starbucks too, but one of the local coffee shops just added artisan crafted oatmeal as part of their breakfast offerings, and I don't know, I think it's weird that you can go anywhere outside of your house and pay somebody money to make you a bowl of goddamned oatmeal. That's bizarre to me. That a food that
non-instant oatmeal. Yeah. So, like, there is some measure of preparation there that I don't... It's like, in a way, that's like, why would you leave your house and have somebody else make you tea, right? Because, like, tea's easy to make, and why wouldn't you just make it at your house? And it's like, oh, well, it's not easy for everybody. Some of us are terrible cooks.
Like...
Some of us would burn water trying to boil it.
The end result when you make oatmeal, too, is just oatmeal, which is... something that you kind of slather into your guts to keep you going for a couple of hours. I don't think anybody is really looking forward and salivating in anticipation their bowl of gruel, you know. But making
I don't know, man. The instant oatmeal that I eat, like especially when camping, I'm looking forward to it. I'm like, I can't even wait for that little jet boil to boil my tiny amount of water to pour into my bowl full of peaches and cream Quaker oatmeal.
Oh, sure, sure. You know how you make non-instant oatmeal?
You put some oats in a bowl and pour hot water on them.
Yeah, or you put the oats in there and put water on it and put it in the microwave for like a minute, and then it turns into oatmeal, and then you dump some brown sugar in there and it's not enough, so you dump some more brown sugar in there and it's not enough. And you pour some maple syrup and some chocolate syrup and corn syrup and anything in there, and it still just tastes like nothing.
Huh.
I mean, I eat it frequently, but I would never say I'm looking forward to it. And, like, one of the nice things about going to a restaurant for breakfast is you can eat something that's not that with the same amount of effort that it takes to get oatmeal.
Right. It is weird that a McDonald's would have... this is the same McDonald's that will sometimes advertise the chorizo McMuffin.
Now that sounds like it should be on Urban Dictionary.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if an individual McDonald's is allowed to just put random shit on the menu. You'd think they'd frown on that.
I'll bet that they're some kind of a pilot place.
Some kind of a what?
Some kind of a testing ground. You know, like a limited release trial program stuff.
Oh.
Like for a while.
Yeah, okay. That would make sense, right? Because the same one keeps getting all the weird shit.
Yeah, there was one in L.A. that had there was a whole Mexican-friendly menu that was like all the regular McDonald's shit, but with chili peppers on it.
Huh.
But it was just a pilot program, and everyone went, this is kind of disgusting. Even though we're Mexicans, we just like eating McDonald's, senor.
Scarf then says, Merry Christmas. Do you have any fun holiday traditions? At my house, we do mimosas, so we're all plastered before noon. Then we watch Caddyshack.
Huh. I enjoy the... I like our Muppet Christmas Carol party. That's always fun. Kind of getting blasted on boozy hot chocolate and watching some Muppets.
I don't remember. Did I drink on Christmas? Yeah, I drank on Christmas. I started drinking beer when I got back from the data center, and then we went out to the bar. I don't know. We don't really have any holiday traditions to speak of. I try to watch Love Actually at least once a year, but it's usually well before Christmas.
Mm. I like to watch the George C. Scott Christmas Carol and the Muppet Christmas Carol. At least once. And Love Actually is definitely on that list.
Second, he writes, more trophies, please. They've been the driving force of my gameplay for the past 3 years, and I'm finally down to my last obtainable one. I'd love some more difficult long-term ones, like the Nemesis OCD one. Okay. Also, I need some suggestions for good literature to read. I haven't been able to find anything riveting in a while. Any suggestions? Well, maybe go to a bookstore instead of trying to find literature by driving rivets into a skyscraper that you're working as a construction worker on.
Yeah. But, literature? That would require reading. Wouldn't it?
Let's say I wanted to find a book on camp directing, I guess? Camp directing? You've seen Wet Hot American Summer.
Repeatedly.
Nice.
Finally, screw Scully's ass, I want riffs. If you really want riffs, you're gonna have to stop screwing my ass long enough to ask for riffs. And given what you're doing to mine, I don't know that he's gonna be that into giving it to you. We should have made it so that instead of fighting the butt, you just fuck it.
Is this... Yeah, if that's in the Secret Society Wars implementation.
We kid.
Yeah, but, well, okay, we kid, but there is a button to fuck every monster. So, sometimes thinking about how that would apply. Joke based in reality.
That's the funniest kind of funny.
Mm. Nwurbatan says, now that there's a system in place to archive limited time content, which should cut down on the whining about missing out, can we look forward to more unexpected events like the dig and the skeleton invasion? Well, I mean, you can always look forward to that. You won't always, you know, you'll frequently be disappointed.
If you're looking forward to them taking place at an unspecified time in the future, then you probably won't be disappointed.
Eric says, I bet now that there's a system in place to archive limited time content, more content will be uncopyable.
Not for the first half hour it's rolled out. Ow!
The only reason that the boredom monsters were uncopyable is because I didn't want people accumulating boredom after the fact, because it doesn't make any sense. I don't know if that's a dumb reason or not. I mean, plus, all they drop is something that you will never, ever be able to use again. But, like, in general, our MO is not to make limited time monsters unputtyable. Cynia says, just wanted to say thanks. Crimbo's been fantastic this year. Still loving the Bindle stocking. Are you guys going to take a vacation for a week or so after this is over, or are you just going to go right back to work on the next bit of game content? First, I thought that said the next bit of lame content. and then I was like, well, that doesn't say lame, it says gay. And I was like, no, it just says game. Why am I so bad at reading things? When was Crimbo, like, done? It was on the 23rd or the 24th, right? And I don't know, I had a couple days where I took a vacation. I was excited about going to work today, though. I was like, sweet, it's a Monday, and I can just look at stuff and figure out what to do and not have some, like, big looming deadline, except for the item of the month, but I mean...
Yeah, I was going to say, we should take this week off.
We've got the item of the month under control. I think that... That's going to be, it's going to be like, excuse me, Jesus, with these like serious frogs in my throat. One more day of shooting the shit about it. One day of implementing it, one day of testing it, we're going to be fine. Fine, just fine. I don't really like vacations. I always need a vacation for my vacation where I start working again.
Right.
Well, I'm only happy when I'm working.
I'm only happy when it rains while I'm working.
See, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Mondays are good because it means I can go back to work. Mm.
I don't like Mondays. Tell me why.
You only like lasagna.
Right. I was thinking more of the song, since we're doing songs, but, you know. Maybe because they're overly manic.
Mm-hmm. Monday? Monday?
Can't trust that day.
Man, you getting the what in the butt reference in? That was great. Play Havoc says, if somebody named Joe copies something on Friday, do they get just the facts, ma'am?
Oh, timely.
Casey Wiederman says, Fallout New Vegas, dead money. How is it? It's awesome. That's right. The patch came out just in time, too. I've been playing it like mad, but I've got this neurotic urge to stay in an area until I've found all the cool stuff there is, like the new caravan cards. I can't leave until I complete all the challenges. It is very bad for plot advancement. I still have not played any caravan, except for the one hand that I tried to play and didn't have the slightest fucking idea what was going on. I'm playing it on the PC, so the DLC is not out for me yet. Oh, you know what I did play that I meant to mention? Was that new Telltale Back to the Future game.
Ooh, yeah. Is that out?
It is. It came out a couple days ago, and it was fun. It was great. I loved it. But what I didn't love is that it cost $25 and lasted like 2 hours.
Huh.
I am usually not a guy who will complain about a game costing a lot. Like, I don't feel like it's a big deal that big budget games cost $50 or $60, right? Like, but when a game is effectively a movie, right? A game is an interactive movie, lasts the same amount of time as a movie, it should cost about the same amount as a movie.
So they're doing 4 episodes at $25 a pop?
I mean, mine was on sale for $22. I think you can get, like, whole seasons of the old Sam and Max stuff. I think it is only this expensive because it is so new. I'm guessing it'll go down to, like, $5 a pop. I do not mind giving those guys money. I've not given them as much as I would like to have. So, I don't begrudge them that. But it is a little... It is the only time... And it's weird because it was a great game. And it is the only time that I've ever triggered that, wow, that cost too much for what it was. Like, I'm normally averse to experiencing that at all because I'm, you know, like, people complain about bank fees. I'm like, look, they're maintaining a network of fucking magic boxes that give me money wherever I am.
Right.
You know, I remember when my parents had to drive to the bank if they wanted to get $20 in cash out. Like, they can charge me $2. They can charge me $10. Like,
and if I don't like it, I don't have to go to their ATM. I can go to one from my bank.
I will, yeah. I mean, that's, like, I don't know. I do go to banks, ATMs of my own banks, when there is one there, right? But it's like,
right.
If I need money in a hurry, $2 is a reasonable amount to charge me for getting money in a hurry.
Yeah.
I guess people are bothered by paying for stuff that they didn't used to pay for, you know, like the airlines starting to charge you for check bags or whatever. I'm like, you realize that these people are getting you from LA to New York in like 5 hours, right? Like, what you are paying for is fucking magic. This used to take your life savings and 6 months. You know, they can have an extra $25. Decay says, in my opinion, Crimbo was / is pretty badass this year. You guys happy with how it turned out? I'm ecstatic with how it turned out.
Yeah.
Because it was way less work than Last Crimbo, and way—I mean, not way better received, but I think it's better received than Last Crimbo.
Yeah,
I'm getting a lot more positive feedback compared to the negative feedback. At least, you know,
last year's is still my favorite story, but it was it was definitely just a story that you clicked buttons to see. So I can see that, you know, it's probably not the best that the game has done for Akrimbo. And this one is just very satisfying and oddly, like, replayable, all of the monsters and in the Akrimbo zone. It seems like there's less there, but you don't get tired of seeing it.
Could have gone
the other way. We could have had the whole joke about doing boring work just add into a boring experience, but instead it's boring plus boring somehow equals awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I was not really concerned about it. Jarko was like, you know, Jarko's normally like, he's not positive about things in general, but he's usually pretty positive about the game and the stuff that we do. And at the end, it's like, you know, he's like, I'm worried that people are going to think this is boring. And I'm like, well. And you did the, like, you took my tactic, which is like, if they think this is boring, they think the entire game is boring, right? This is like just fighting a bunch of monsters. I think people balked a little bit at the notion of them not having item drops, and I was like, well, you know, they don't have item drops because the things that you buy in the store are the item drops. They're just item drops that you get to choose. You know, and in general, it seems like I don't remember anyone complaining at all about the monsters not dropping items.
The interesting complaint was, and I only saw one person make it, was that this is just the same as last Akrimbo because you're given an alternate currency with which you buy stuff from the store. And one of them's a clan item, and some of them are skill books, and like that's the person who actually takes seriously the idea that, say, Harry Potter is just Star Wars with the characters' names changed, kind of thing. Like anything that, if you describe it in broad enough terms, it sounds like something else. So it's a total ripoff thing.
I do. Yeah. I have to admit though that I am always a little. While the like alternate currency to make some content more self-contained is good, I'm always a little like, all right, is this one too many? Whenever I do it, mm-hmm. You know, for limited time stuff, I think it's great. I mean, and you know, I don't think that I would take that complaint to heart unless a lot of people were making it. Yeah. Really,
like,
often.
We did craftables 3 times, and people were starting to go, okay, enough with the craftables.
Yep.
So we did the couple of Akrimbos where you buy stuff with alternate currency, and
it really was. I mean, those craftables really were just a slightly more convoluted currency, right? There's not really any difference between making things out of felt and googly eyes than making things out of scrip. It's just that there are two different things, and you have to have 6 of them drop in a particular combination to get this one thing instead of it just dropping one thing and you cost 6 of them. Stupak2 says, hey Jake, I really liked that thing you posted on Twitter today showing all the art in pieces. Have you considered doing any more stuff showing your creative process? I think it'd be neat. Also, I was in San Francisco a few days ago and I saw a giant pile of poop, so you win, goddammit. Also, I want your butt, give it to me, grah.
I think what's happening here is that Jick likes to shit on the street in San Francisco, so he's trying to popularize this idea that you just see shit all the time on the street in San Francisco. It's just something that happens, so that you can get away with doing it more.
I am going to post to Twitter every time I see some shit on the sidewalk in San Francisco, and y'all are going to get sick of the frequency with which I'm posting these pictures to Twitter real fast. I'm telling you. So one thing that I've considered doing, and I just don't know how to do it, is one of those things where it's like a time lapse of the desktop when I'm doing the artwork for something.
Oh yeah.
Or developing something that I know I'm going to develop in a sitting. But with that, I worry that something would pop up on the screen that I don't want people seeing.
Right.
You know, some unreleased content, not like... I would make a point of occasionally watching some porn just so that would pop up in the video. But I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to actually do, like, a video capture of the desktop. I'm sure there's just some program that does it.
Yeah.
Uh, Betrayer says, so Disco Bandit Traveling Traitor Skillbook this year. Is it too late to hope? Yeah, it'll come out. It'll come out. It'll probably be the next thing, but it will not be this year, I don't think. Alfredo Boyardi says, I've heard rumors, or rumours if you're into that sort of thing, of a PvP overhaul. Is this true? When can we least, or what can we least expect? Well, you can least expect it to come out in a timely fashion.
Right.
I did some more design documentation on it today. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that will eventually be ready, but we're going to do it when it's ready, you know. And a lot of people talking about rumor versus rumour. Nightwind292 says, if the hobo elves are the physical that completes and complements the elemental zones of Hobopolis and giving us two more spells to finish the set, are there ideas you didn't use that will become part of a physical foldable? No, actually, that was not really considered at all, although the January item of the month is going to be a physical foldable. Spoiler alert!
You're going to actually be able to physically fold it in three-dimensional space.
Yeah. We're going to install Unity.
You give us $10, and we're going to mail you a thing.
Yeah. It's a Rubik's sheet of paper.
Exactly.
Corruptor of Souls writes, a non-game question. For those among you who love spicy food, have you tried ghost pepper salsa? That stuff is ridiculously potent. Best salsa ever. I don't like absurdly spicy stuff.
Yeah, I like things that are flavors and not just designed to cause pain.
So things that you can has.
Mm-hmm.
Squee says, a lot of the combat text starts reading very oddly once combat items and familiars get involved. For example, one round fighting a blur reads, you release the chaos butterfly in the direction of your opponent. It flaps its wings and flies away, and reality is altered in unpredictable ways. Rogue Program bounces his disc off of it for 33 damage, and it ricochets into you, giving you quite a shock. It tries to kick you and bore into you, but you refuse to be kicked around and bored. Overall, this makes it read as though the Chaos Butterfly does its thing, then the program bounces his disc off the Chaos Butterfly, and then either the Chaos Butterfly or the disc or the enemy ricochets into me. After all that happens, there's another it trying to kick me, which could either be the enemy, the Chaos Butterfly, or the rogue program's disc. All have been referenced as it during this round. It's very common that there will be two subsequent its during a round with no subject in between them, with both its referring to different objects. Is there any plan to clean up ambiguous text like that, or is it more of a don't be a dick, you know what we mean sort of thing? I notice that a lot when I'm playing, and it bugs me a little bit. But what I think would bug me more is constant, your opponent, your opponent, your opponent, your opponent, your opponent.
See, after I played a little bit, once we had put some of those things in, like the ability to use pronouns and possessives for monsters, I started doing some of that, your opponent, your foe, your enemy, with sensitive plurals and everything, but I have been actively trying to avoid the, you know, like, it kicks it in the teeth, which makes it fall down, kind of thing. Just thinking about how it's going to look when you have a familiar that's a he fighting an enemy that's a he.
Yeah, no, I guess that's a good point. I mean, and I guess maybe it wouldn't bother me so much if it was like a long message and the first time we would normally use the like pronoun, we use your opponent or your foe.
I did a lot of that with the gift tossing messages.
Okay.
Because I knew there were going to be a lot of it opponents and just like it flies through the air and hits it in the it.
Yeah.
And then what happens then is the dude from Faith No More comes and starts shouting, what is it?
Like, it's it.
And then
it wants it all, but it can't have it.
Yeah, and then Tim Curry, dressed as a creepy clown, starts hanging around, and that's no fun.
But actually a spider.
Fucking spider.
And you need to have some underage gangbang to kill the spider, I guess.
You know what was funny is people complaining about the ending of it as the miniseries. It was like, you're right, they should have been more true to the artist's vision. They should have had a scene where the kid sticks his tongue out and it sticks his tongue out and they bite each other's tongues and then tell each other riddles. That is totally how they should have ended that movie to stay true to the artist's vision.
Oh, haha, I guess I bought all 5 episodes. Never mind. Pantsless tells me that the $25 is for all 5 episodes.
Oh, well, that's infinitely more reasonable.
Perfect. That is like half. That is a half of a reasonable thing. I wish I had known that.
So you bought like a season pass and didn't know.
Yeah, I guess I bought a season. That's fucking great. Thanks, Pantsless, and sorry, Telltale.
Does that make you feel? Does that make you revise your grade for the game up a letter?
Well, I mean, it was already an A. It makes me feel like an asshole. Oh, that's awesome, though. And you know, I've just bought it through Steam, and so it's like, okay, I just know that I'll be able to play that. Like, if I want to play the second episode on a laptop somewhere someday, I can just do it. Like, I don't understand why anybody hates on Steam. It's just like all the open source fags.
When you buy something on Steam...
What happens when Steam goes out of business? They take all your data with them. It wants to be free. Like, nope. It wants to be easy. And that's why I use Steam.
So wait, when you buy something on Steam, you can access it anywhere? There's a computer running Steam?
Yep. Well, no. You have to log into your Steam account.
Sure.
To do it, yeah. But, yeah.
So it works the way that I thought Kongregate works, but doesn't?
Yeah, because that Kongregate doesn't have any remote storage. Your save games, like, that's a thing. Some software will save games to the Steam cloud, which is, I guess, a thing. For the most part, it'll be, like, just another copy of the game, and your save games don't transfer over.
Excuse me.
But, you know, for a game that only takes 2 hours to play.
So I could finish it in, presumably, 3 or 4 weeks.
I did the whole thing in a sip. No, I paused to eat dinner, I guess. I'm terrible at adventure games, by the way. I had to get like 3 hints. Most of the things that I was doing, though, were just like, I had done everything that you had to do, I just hadn't done them in the right order. So I didn't feel so bad. And one was because I didn't know that you could leave an area. Usually when it sends you somewhere, you just have a thing to do there, and then you leave. But in this case, it wasn't like that. Anyway. Schlitz says, as everyone else has said, awesome job on Crimbo, guys. I've been hoarding some massive fucking questions for a while, so I'm sorry in advance. 1. Clan VIP furniture. No, I'm not bitching about the fax machine, because I haven't used it yet, but about the concepts behind the VIP room. The furnishing I like the most is the pool table, because the in-clan competitiveness and the leaderboard provides when Pantsless isn't dominating the table. Meanwhile, the default equipment in Crimbo Tree, while useful, often gets completely forgotten by me. My point being, I like VIP furniture where the emphasis is on clan. Sorry, I like clan VIP furniture where the emphasis is on clan. Please discuss. Yeah, I mean, it's cool, you know. Looking Glass stuff, you know, the cooperative aspect of that was meant to be the quest for getting the thing, the hookah or whatever. People don't think of that as collaborative. They think of it as us forcing them to do the pain in the ass process of buying gift items from somebody else.
Of course.
Following on from there, after the fun collecting Uncle Crimbo's cigars in my clan, I for one have finally realized what you've been on about with regard to clan trophies and dungeons rather than regular trophies. Factoring in the slime tube, it seems like you're including special clan trophies for special boss kills, which makes their leaderboards much more interesting than the basic how many times have you killed this boss ones from Hobopolis. Was there a reason Hobopolis didn't benefit from special clan trophies, or had you just not had the idea yet? That was just one of the things that got excised so that Hobopolis could eventually be finished. There were some flags that I was using to track. They were going to be used to track some, like, you know, secret accomplishment kind of things in there, but I just didn't do anything with them. And do you not get a different trophy from killing Uber Hodgman? I guess you don't. That would be, you know, that'd be a thing, though. Let's see. If you need to skip a question, this massive one is the one to skip. Yeah, I would like to talk about this, but not right now, because there's only like 5 minutes left. Blister Guy says, in the last Jick/Hot Stuff/Riff Show, you mentioned that 6 out of the 12 items of the month were late last year. How's January looking? I would be pretty surprised if we don't get it out on time.
Oh.
I think the layout of the page, says Turtle, makes it unambiguous since the familiar action is positioned so as to be independent. If you read it as one run on action, it doesn't flow right, but it's never seemed weird when actually looking at the page. Little Lol Little Gal says, is it ever going to be necessary to pick and choose VIP room furniture, or is it a magically expanding space like the inside of Mary Poppins' carpet bag? I'd hate to think that eventually we'd have to choose everything to replace, or have to choose to replace something. Yes, everyone is right. Crimbo this year was great. It's actually more like Mary Poppins' vagina, which is also, it's also magically expanding, but it is always just exactly the right size.
Wow.
I don't know. Was Mary Poppins attractive?
Julie Andrews, back in the day? I'd hit that.
Yeah.
She's a little too clean cut for me. But I would still hit it.
Yeah, you need her to have some tattoos.
Yeah, maybe she has them. Who knows? Who knows what's underneath that dress?
Corruptor of Souls notes that the salsa is quite flavorful. It's going to be a year at least before we fill up the VIP lounge, and I'll figure out what to do then. It could easily just expand by one more row every time it needs to, or get an elevator like the Cannon Museum, so that there can just be a ton of empty space in it. Wait, there isn't actually. You can't go up to the empty floors. Maybe. Or can you? Maybe you can. I don't know, man. One of these days, we're going to have to answer some radio bugbear questions, because that's, there's some tumbleweeds in there. Although, not as many tumbleweeds as you'd think. Oh, and Nightval says, Back to the Future is $25 for the entire season. You just bought everything at once, so you'll get the other episodes for free as they come out. Cam Studio is a good, simple, free screen recording program. Cam Studio, huh?
Uh-huh.
What about Cam Susu Studio? Is that a program that lets you see whatever Phil Collins is looking at on his monitor?
I don't know if I want to see that.
I think that would be a glimpse into a magical wonderland.
I think that what he's always doing is looking at a webcam for what Peter Gabriel's doing.
What?
And Peter Gabriel's just always looking at porn. So, you could just look at some porn. Cut out the middle.
Hasn't Peter Gabriel been married like 10 times or something?
Possibly.
I think it was Gabi from Frontalot's band was talking about how Peter Gabriel had a lot of bad relationships.
Huh.
I'm going to look him up. Man, is he old. He's bald and has a pointy beard. The pointy beard, oh pointy pointy. Anoint my chin, anointy nointy. How's it going, Mr. Skullhead?
I'm just letting you go. Keep digging.
Yeah. Personal life. No? Wait. I don't know, man. He's been married a couple times at least.
Mr. Crack says, how come that motorcycles in fantasy games don't make sense, but fax machines seemingly do? Because, if there was a World of Warcraft expansion that was, like, the invasion of technology having people from another dimension, I'm sure that it would be okay that they had technology, right?
Yeah, and also, this is not... Kingdom of the Living is not, like, explicitly a fantasy game, right? There weren't fucking fly swatters in medieval fantasy, but, like, combustion engines, it bothers me in World of Warcraft because it's, like, I get that they've always had the, like, kind of steampunk vibe, but it's like, all right, this is, like, some steampunk bullshit Orange County chopper nonsense.
Right.
As opposed to, like, what it would actually be like in any kind of a reasonable context, right? Like, they always had airplanes, and that didn't particularly bother me, right? It's just that something like a fax machine would bother me, I think, in World of Warcraft. Suspension of disbelief is a little... deeper with us, I think.
Right.
Anyway. Are we done? Can we be done?
We...
I mean, I'm obviously done.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, we'll see you next week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're the person who's going to be on the radio next, it would be awesome if you got in touch with me.